On Radio Veritas on Matins with Khanya Ditabe and Colin York standing in for Father Emil Blaza.
Catholics in Action on Matins with Father Emil.
Father Russell.
Very good morning to you.
And how are you this morning?
I'm good, and yourself, Khanya?
I'm fine, thank you. So what exactly is the situation now in terms of the NEC, the NWC? We saw the postponements of the SONA and of the NEC meeting. What's the story so far?
I want to say angers. I mean, you know, this postponement is a real indication, of course, that they're not expecting, obviously, President Jacob Zuma to give this State of the Nation address. And, they're buying time so that, obviously, they can put somebody new in place. But it looks as if, that Zuma's not simply just going to step down, as people thought, maybe, and, give in his resignation. I mean, there's been all sorts of attempts, I think, to negotiate with him. But the man is digging his heels in and saying, you know, he's done nothing wrong. He's listened to what the court said. He has paid back the money. Why is it that they want to get rid of him? And then this morning, people may have heard, there's been a leaked audio of Paul Mashatile addressing people at the mining in Durban, where he's trying to explain the complexity of the situation where on Sunday night, when the top six met with him, he rebuffed them and said he's not going to go anywhere. And then they called the NEC meeting, and they were going to recall him. And then Ramaphosa met with him, and it seems as if they did some negotiation and some deal. And so they called off the NEC meeting, and it seems as if now they're in the closing moments of doing some sort of deal with Zuma. And then once that is done, Zuma will resign himself. So the ANC is trying to avoid a vote of no confidence or an impeachment or something like that. On the other hand, Khanya, you know, people are saying, well, this sort of indicates maybe that Cyril Ramaphosa doesn't have all the power, and there's still a lot of power around Jacob Zuma, and Ramaphosa is unable to simply just make decisions. He's got to balance things the whole time. Maybe there's a threat of violence. Maybe, the ANC is afraid that if they did put it to the vote, because it's so factionalized at the moment, that they may not get the votes that they need. People may agree to vote against Zuma, then vote for him. So it's all up in the air.
But, it seems Ramaphosa speaks the language of unity. So it might be, after all, that he's trying to do it peacefully, with unity, and trying to still bring those different factions together. Or what would be your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure. I mean, I think Ramaphosa has spoken about unity. I think we know that he is a man that recognizes and knows that getting people all on the same page to move forward together is the best way to do it. Remember, he was a chief negotiator in CODESA, in the negotiated settlement that brought about, the end to apartheid and the beginning of the new democratic era. He was a key person in negotiating the constitution. So, I think you're right. I mean, I think that he is reading off that page, but I suspect that, if one did speak to him, there would be some frustration there, because it seems as if, the president is the one who is at the moment at the kind of center of the disunity. He has the power to tell his supporters and those who are maybe fighting on his side that, let's move forward, let's do something. But Zuma's not doing that. I mean, Zuma's remained mute and has allowed certain things to happen as well. Like, for example, that march on Monday outside the Tuli House, where we saw those horrible scenes of that man kicking the woman. So I think you're right. I think Ramaphosa is a man who's trying to bring about some sort of vision together. He's trying to use the unity card. I mean, on the other hand, I think we must also be very careful to think that Ramaphosa is a messiah and he's going to just solve all the problems overnight, because I suspect that this is only one in many steps that he'll have to take if he's going to bring about the kind of society and the kind of ANC that he's talking about.
And of course, in any transition, there are teething problems, so to speak, for a lack of a better word.
Absolutely. I mean, there will be. And, we're going to see that, because remember, if Zuma resigns, you know, it's quite clear that there are other people in government that people will be expecting to go as well. So, Batsugile Dlamini, Mosobatsu Zwane, the mining minister, you know, maybe even the finance minister, Gigaba. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. You know, this is a process, and this is not going to happen overnight, and it's going to take a while. When Zuma plans on resigning, nobody kind of knows. It might be a few days, it might be a week. I did hear a rumor yesterday that the State of the Nation is kind of being sort of taking place next Thursday, so they think that things would have changed by then, but we just don't know. There's been no official announcement. The week after that's the budget. If the budget is not done, there's many departments that won't get their money, which will cause you know, government not to be able to function. So, you know, it's all kind of very fragile in a way, but also, as you say, it's got to be a process.
We've spoken about Brexit in the past. Now this is Zexit.
Yes, that's I see what people are saying, Zexit. You know, and like all these things, you know, as you point out, there's not always necessarily such a smooth transition. There's going to have to be a number of teething problems that are going to be ironed out, and there's personalities involved that are going to have to be satisfied that they have got a good deal.
Now, Father, as Catholics, we're now going into Lent with the situation in the country where we don't know what's happening. What would be your message this time? How would we reflect this Lent on the situation in the country?
You know, Lent is about, you know, we hear the call right on Ash Wednesday. It's about repentance. It's about, you know, looking at your life, trying to get rid of those things that maybe you see as hindrances or obstacles. It's about trying to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. And I think that there's many different things in South Africa at the moment that we would do well to make part of our Lenten reflections. The problem with Lent is when I'm doing something like, and I'm not a great advocate of this, when I'm saying I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent or I'm going to not drink alcohol, yeah, that's all to the good. However, I think that those things are a bit soft, and I think that those things are individualistic. I think that, you know, if we're going to take Lent seriously in a country like ours, the issues that we should be reflecting on are the issues of our time and our contribution to them. So, for example, you know, I know the bishops are putting out a series for Lent through the Justice and Peace Department on racism. It would be well and good for all South Africans to be reflecting on this issue of racism. I mean, it is like an obstacle in our society. It's something that plagues us. It's something that causes a lot of pain. It's something that goes directly against love of God and love of neighbor. You know, I think another issue for us to be reflecting upon, for example, is also the question of the huge gap between the rich and the poor in this country. You know, what should we as Christians be doing? What is our responsibility? If we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts, we hear how the early Christian community used to pool things so that no one in the community was without the basics that they needed. I mean, what are we doing as individuals and as Catholic communities to tackle these real issues of people who are living in dire poverty, of people who are sending children to school hungry, of people who can't afford to buy the basics for their children and give them some sort of start for the future? You know, so I think a lot of things like that are very important. Even our own usage of material goods. I mean, we've got a Pope who keeps speaking about the evils of materialism and consumerism. I mean, do I buy stuff that I don't need? Do I live the kind of life where I'm coveting the latest or the greatest things or what my neighbor has the whole time? This is an obstacle in my relationship with God. This is an obstacle in my relationship with others. And so I think this kind of stuff has to be the content of our Lenten reflections if we're going to take Lent seriously. And if I may just end by saying, Khanya, if we look at the scriptures of Lent, those scriptures convict us of these kinds of things all the time. They are not soft. The prophets in the Old Testament, Hosea, Isaiah, you know, they often speak about how you steal the food from the mouth of the poor and things like that. And that's what we're given in Lent to reflect on. So for me, those real issues should really be part not only of our affliction, but also of our practice during Lent. Forget about giving up Coke or forget about giving up chocolate. Make an effort to do something that's going to make a difference to somebody's life and help you to change your attitude.
I don't know if you've heard this. This is really just something also perhaps priests or preachers could reflect on, or homilists. Pope Francis says homilies must be brief. They must be prepared with prayer, of course, and study of the word, a brief synthesis, and it must not go over 10 minutes.
Kanya, if you want to get people talking and you want to get priests angry, you criticize their homilies. A couple of years ago, a year or two ago, I wrote two or three columns about the poor standard of preaching in the Catholic Church. And although we got many emails at the Jesuit Institute saying, oh, yes, please, somebody needs to say that, there were quite a number of priests who emailed me very angry that I dared to say that. And you're referring to Pope Francis's general audience yesterday where he was speaking about preaching and sermons, saying
yes,
keep them short, make, you know, go to the point, prepare them well, you know, don't bore people, don't get overly complicated. A lot of those things he wrote in 2013 in his apostolic letter Evangelii Gaudium, and he seems to be reiterating that. But interesting as well, saying that he was worried about the variable quality of sermons that are delivered in the Catholic Church. So yeah, so there's a Lenten reflection for preachers, you know. Are you boring people to tears? Are you making people feel so frustrated by droning on that you need to change something?
Beautiful. And so, Father, anything from the Jesuit Institute this year or this time?
Of course, Kanya, we've got the Lent book, which is selling quite well. We've still got a few copies left of that, Journey to the Resurrection, written by Father Nicholas King and Anne-Marie Pauline Campbell. That book is selling for 100 Rand. That book is also available as an audio, and that's 100 Rand. So the audio is a reading of the book, and there's also some music to aid reflection. That's also 100 Rand. And you can get the book daily on WhatsApp for 80 Rand. You'll get a WhatsApp message every morning with that day's reflection. So we've got that book. We've got the Children's Lent book. If you're looking for something to do with children, we've got a Children's Lent book for 80 Rand. And then next Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, the 14th of February, the Jesuit Institute is hosting a day of recollection for Ash Wednesday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, finishing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the Institute's offices in Auckland Park. Booking is essential, so please get hold of us if you would like to come. We normally get about 80 to 100 people who come on that day, so please make sure that you book. It costs 200 Rand for the day, and we ask you to bring a packed lunch because it's a day of fasting and abstinence. And the same thing is happening in Cape Town at St. Bernard's in Newlands. Father Michael Lewis is directing a day of recollection on Ash Wednesday from 9 to 4 at St. Bernard's in Newlands. So that's what's on the calendar in the immediate future.
Okay, sounds all good. And, of course, the website is jesuitinstitute.org.za.
That's correct. Or a simple email address is admin@jesuitinstitute.org.za.
Director of the Jesuit Institute in South Africa, Father Russell Podit. Father, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kanya. Have a good day.